I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, to the 15th chapter. We're going to read part of the verses. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke 15, verses 11 through 20 we'll cover, but we're not going to read all the way to 20. It is the story, as you're turning in your Bible, of the prodigal son. I'm doing a message this morning, a little different. Really, the preaching is a little different because I'm going to do what is called an illustrative story message. We're going to read the Scripture, and then I'm going to share with you a story that really kind of outlines what happened, and we'll let God have all the glory, and if it bombs, I'll take all the credit. How about that? Ask you to stand in honor of reading of the Word of God. Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. Jesus is teaching them a parable. He said, "And he said, a man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he," meaning the father, "divided the wealth between them," between him and his other brother. "And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, and he went on a journey to a distant country. And there it says he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country," I'm in verse 15, "and he sent him into his fields to feed swine," to feed pigs. "And he," it says, "and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to him." And we're going to stop right there. We're going to ask God to bless the reading of His Word. We'll finish part of the rest of it later. You may be seated. A message entitled, "Down the Hogpen Train." There was a little boy who was spending a few weeks with his grandfather on the farm. And as he had arrived and his mother had left for home and his tearful goodbyes there, he ran to his grandfather, and his grandfather began to share with him all the wonderful things that they were going to experience over the next few weeks, and what especially was going to be happening tomorrow. Oh, he spent the most restless of nights, like little boys do, and finally fell asleep, heard the crowing of the rooster, and jumped out of bed and came running downstairs looking for his grandfather. His grandfather had been up for some time. He got a little bit of breakfast, kind of messed with that. His grandmother made him sit there, and he fidgeted like little boys do. Before too long, there he was with his grandfather on the John Deere taking his first tractor ride of the summer. Oh, what a thrilling time it was. And they rode here and there, and his grandfather let him do like granddaddies do. He let him steer a little bit and speed it up and slow it down, and yet his feet wouldn't reach the pedal. They were going down a particular dusty road on the way to one of the fields when his grandfather slowed down, and the young boy noticed a smell begin to permeate the air. And it was a strange smell. And he kind of wrinkled his nose because it didn't smell real good. Probably about like Durham, North Carolina. I'd throw that in there. Any of you from Durham, just parts of it, okay? Well, he began also, as he smelled the smell and his grandfather turned the tractor off, he began to hear these noises. He heard grunts and he heard squeals. And then out of nowhere coming up that path was the cutest four-legged thing he'd seen on a farm before. It was a little piglet. Now, I know some of you think that there's nothing special. If you've never seen a little newborn piglet that can go a little bit, it's as cute as a puppy, okay? Looks almost like Perry Tyler, amen? I don't know why I said that. God forgive me for that. Well, that little piglet got his attention, and his grandfather began to tell him that down the path to the left, well, what was, and the path was known as the Hogpen Trail.
He said, you go down that path, and he said, down there, that's where we have our hog lot. And he said, now I want to tell you, I'm going to take you there tomorrow, but I want you never, ever, ever to go down the hog pen trail or down there alone. And all this time he's listening to his granddaddy faintly. He's watching this little piglet just run back and forth and grunt a little bit. And he hears the squeals in the background. And his grandfather finally gets his never go by yourself. And he looks at him and he says, but why, granddaddy? He said, well, yes, there are a lot of little piglets down there. We're going to let you play with one. He said, but there are also big boars down there. And he said, well, what's that? He said, well, that's the male pig. And he said, some of them have tusks. And he said, they're tough. They're mean and they're tough. And he said, also, the sows are down there. And his granddaddy explained to him that a sow was the female pig. She was the mama to the little piglets. And that mama sows could be pretty tough if you were messing with their little piglets. And he said, if you go down there, first of all, it's a smelly, dirty, nasty place. He said, but you'll like it. He said, but don't ever go without me. You understand? And he understood, and they drove off and spent the rest of the day, had a glorious supper, and he went to bed that night. He got up the next morning much the same way, in great anticipation, only to find that his grandfather was already out on the farm with the hands working. And so he began a journey outside. His grandmother told him not to go far, but he found himself skipping stones and throwing rocks in the canals and just kind of walking along. And suddenly he began to kind of do like that. He heard this noise, and I spent a lot of my time in Eastern North Carolina pastoring, and my mother was from that area, and I got to give you a sound that the little boy heard, so you get ready for this, okay? Well, he heard that sound. Those of you that know anything about a pig, that's a pig sound, okay? Well, he kind of stops and he looks to his left and he finds himself parallel to the hog pen trail. And he hears his grandfather speaking in his ear and he's saying to him, don't ever go down there alone. It's a dangerous place. Well, he kind of stops and looks and listens and looks. You should have seen him. He's got on blue jeans, kind of his jeans and flannel type shirt, and he's got on buckled up boots. Any of y'all ever had any of those boots that your shoe went inside of and you had to buckle them across the front? Oh, well, look at me spiritual. Some of you have some, I know. Well, he had those on, and he thinks, you know, I wonder if one of those little piglets will come up here. And he just kind of stood there, just waiting. All of a sudden, flying down that trail, running here and there, and here and there's little piglet. Well, you know, little boy, about like seeing a puppy or that, his eyes got big. And he thought, oh boy, it's coming toward me. He's doing like this. And the piglet kind of stops and looks at him like, you're looking at me. Well, the piglet came a little closer. And as the piglet came a little closer, he took a little step that way. Well, it wasn't too long before two or three other little piglets came flying out of the brush and were flying all around. And the little boy is just having a ball watching the piglets. And he notices that he's got his foot on the hog pen trail, but he won't go any further because his grandfather had warned him of the danger. Well, about that time, right behind him goes something squealing like you just could not imagine, and it's a little piglet. Well, that little piglet, that little boy did like little boys are going to do, little girls too. Girls, don't you look spiritual at me. What did he do? He took off after that pig. Well, he threw the brushes over here and kind of the little trees over here. And finally that piglet makes it out and he notices the piglet. And he almost caught him once, takes off down the hog pen trail. And that little boy took off as fast as he could, chasing that piglet, trying to catch it, couldn't get there. Gets down there, and he's not paying attention to what's going on. He just knows that little piglet, I've got to have it, because it's going to be such fun. It's going to be glorious. And he goes running down there, and all of a sudden, cutting right in front of him is another piglet. And so he just jumps up in the air, not wanting to hurt the piglet, sees two more, and leaps, and all of a sudden, splash.
he finds himself in the biggest mud puddle you can ever imagine. And he kind of looks around, and all of a sudden, what happens when you jump in a mud puddle? You get dirty. You get covered. So he gets covered with stuff that don't smell real good, folks. You haven't been there, don't go there. Right? You know. And so he's covered with all that stuff, and he realizes, he's come to the realization the little piglets are gone, and he realizes that he's run down the hog pen trail. Well, like little boys, they want to play in a mud puddle, but all he wants to do is get out of there. Why? Because his grandfather had warned him, don't ever go to that place alone. And he begins to step up, and he can't. His boots have sunk down so far in the mud, he can't move. He turned to his left and couldn't pull his boot out, and his right and couldn't pull his boot out. And about that time, he looks over there, and there the boar hogs had hit the fence. Because, see, they were used to being fed. When somebody showed up, it was feeding time, or it was some other time, something that meant they got some attention. So the boar hogs are really squealing. They're climbing on that fence with their back feet, their front feet on the fence, and they're pushing on it. He thinks it's going to break down. Well, the sow's doing the same thing, and the fingers, there's just this crescendo of noise, and he's screaming now, tears running down his cheeks. Granddaddy! 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 And Granddaddy can't hear him. He's gotten almost to the end of the hog pen trail. And there he is in grave danger, covered with stuff that none of us would want to be covered with. I don't think you ladies would want a mud mask either. And he's so afraid. He pulls and he screams and he pulls and he screams, and the hogs continue to make the noise, and finally the boars figure out that there's nothing there to eat. Let they eat him, and they can't get to him. And the little piglets have run to their mothers, and the sows have calmed down. And he continues to pull, and he continues to cry, and he continues to holler, and nothing he could do. And there he finds himself in a place, and he goes, what in the world am I going to do? My granddaddy told me not to come here. He cries and hollers and thinks to himself. Finally, he gets tired like little boys do, and he kind of just leans down on the bottom of those boots with his trying to keep his hind end out of the water, not knowing what he's going to do, figuring he's probably going to be stuck there forever. He's caught at the end of the hog pen trail, a place he was told not to go or not to go to. But you see, when he first started running, it seemed so good because the little piglets were there. They got to be fun to play with. Turn with me in your Bible to verse 15. As we return to the story of the prodigal son, we see that he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. You see, he took and he squandered everything. He did what his father had warned him not to do. I'm sure that when he said, give me my inheritance, and he suddenly, the next couple of days, he's packing up to leave, and Daddy says, son, you don't want to do this. You really don't want to do this. Where you're going, you're not prepared for it. It's a dangerous place. And he's gone. He's hit town. Boy, has the message gone out in town. There's another sucker in town. Oh, for a little while, there was wine, women, and song. Everybody was his buddy. Everybody loved that kid that had come to town. Why? Because he's got a little bit of dough. But he finds out that a fool and his money are soon parted. The scripture tells us that he had lost everything and he's trapped there. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to get home. And says so in verse 15, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country. And the person that he hired himself to sent him out into the field, into the hog lot to feed swine. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know that I want to have a job feeding pigs for a living. But what makes it even more real for Jesus' audience that day is that for a Jew, a swine, a pig was considered unclean.
And it says in the Jewish Talmud, their law, cursed is he who feeds swine. So here's a boy that finds himself trapped at the end of the hog pen trail. And he doesn't know what to do. He finds himself in verse 16, it says that he became hungry. He became so hungry he was willing to even eat the pods, kind of the husk of the bean is really what it was that the pigs were eating. I don't know about you, but I'm not real interested in pig. Any of y'all interested in pig food? I'm not. Well, the scripture says that he spent some time there, and finally it says when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here in hunger. I will get up and go to my father's house and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be your son.'" He says he decides that he's going to go home. He's going to swallow his pride, and he's going to go home, and he's going to admit to his father that he's failed, that he should have listened. Let me tell you something. Some of you may be sitting here today, and I've already hit a nerve with you. I want to tell you, one of the toughest things you can do is to have to go home and tell mom and daddy you messed up. It is. It's tough. I had to do it. I've had to do it once or twice. I think Rose has done it many more times. That's tough. But he realizes that I've got to humble myself and go home. And he knows, he says immediately, "I've squandered everything and there's no more chance for me. I won't be anything but a hired hand to my daddy." And the scripture says, you know the story. He said, "I'll get up in verse 18 and go to my father's house, and I will say to him, 'I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be your son.'" Verse 20 says, "But he got up and he came to his father. And while he was a long way off, his father saw him." You know, that's like most daddies. Not all earthly daddies are that way, but most daddies. I remember one time when I told my mother and daddy they were unfair, and I was about 11. I was moving out. My mama got my suitcase and packed on my stuff. Put it on the front porch and said, "Bye." But my daddy looked at me and said, "Son, I just want you to know, no matter how far you go or whenever you go, let me teach you a lesson. The light will be on when you get ready to come home." And that meant that no matter where I went, if it was across the street or far away, that the light would be on. That's a lesson my daddy still holds to this day. I can come home. The light is still on. Well, it says that the prodigal son, while he was a long way off, his father saw him. You know what that says about fathers? That says that they're waiting. And the father in this story is our heavenly father, is who it represents. You see, folks, this is a story about what happens when we decide to go our own way and we fall into the alluring trap of sin. You see, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And some of you young adults and some of you young people need to listen to me. The alluring trail of the hog pen is out there. Oh, the little piglets are running here and there. The country that looks so, that boy that is so wonderful that you'll die if I don't get to go out with him, and your parents are going, "He's trouble." Or that girl that you think she just set the moon. And your mom and dad have already picked up that she's not the kind of girl you ought to be with. Or your friends. All the hog pen trails out there everywhere, folks. It's out there for us adults every day trying to pull us in. I've said this before. How many of you use Google for your search engine? Some of you are going, "Huh? No, I'm not searching for my engine," for those of you who don't know what that means. How many of you use Yahoo? I use Yahoo. Now, when I bring Yahoo up, one of the things that I always get on my page is there's always some good-looking woman on there for some vacation site. It comes on everybody's page, not just mine.
Now, I keep an internet filter on my computer that I can't break or get into. I can't go to websites, so the hot pin trail can't get me because the trail's been blocked, okay? But even on Yahoo, these things come up. In fact, there was one, some of you men, I'll let you explain to your children what low T is, but there's a low T commercial, and it's got a lady on there. Now, what does she have to do with low T, okay? What I'm sharing with you is it's everywhere. You can't go through the supermarket without seeing something or anywhere. There's always that pull. It's on television. The hot pin trail always looks good till you get too far. Till you get beyond the little cute piglet to the mud hole and you're covered with the stuff. We need to be careful of the hot pin trail. It's still out there. But here's the good news for us today. There's a Father, our Heavenly Father, who's still waiting. It says that the boy came to the Father in verse 21. He said, "I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be your son." But I want you to notice what the Father said. But the Father said to his slave, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate." Verse 24, so important, "For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He who was lost has been found." And they begin to celebrate. Ladies and gentlemen, where are you today? Maybe you're here today and you're covered with the stench of the hog pen trail. What looked good is no longer good. It smells. It no longer feels good. It's ruining your life. I want you to know that there's a God who's not waiting with a stick to whack you. He's waiting with his arms just like this to say, "Come on home. Come on home." You see, even when you're on earthly daddy, some of you may not have had good earthly daddy, or you may have had hard, strict earthly. God's not like God just says, "Come on home." And just like he did, like the Father did to that son, our Father does the same thing. Where are you today? Is the hot pin trail pulling at you business-wise? I was amazed to watch last night on television the mayor, former mayor of San Diego, lady who had gotten out and worked with the garbage men and had really transformed that city, is now negotiating not going to jail because she embezzled $1.5 million from her husband in the city because she had a gambling habit. She won over $1 million gambling. But she lost more than that. She was drawn in by the beauty of the hot pin trail. Kind of like the fellow who walked into his pastor's office and he said, "Pastor, I just want to inform you, I won't be coming to church anymore here." He said, "My family will still be coming." He said, "I'm leaving my wife. I've met somebody new. And I love her." Pastor sat him down and said, "Well, tell me about it." She was younger. She was more vibrant. She had this and she had that. And his wife was just a wife. The pastor looked at him and he says, "Well, you've got one thing right. You've got the word right, or the first letter of the word right. You call it love. The Bible calls it lust." The hog pen trail is still out there, calling to us, and it always looks pretty at the first. But the Father is waiting today, saying to you, "Come on home. Come on home. I love you. I'll put my arms around you and I'll hug you." You know, many of us here have known what it's like to come back from the hog pen trail. As we come in just a moment to close our service, what about you? Well, I know you're wondering what happened to the little boy. Well, he sat there for a while and he got hungry. He watched the pigs rooting and the stuff began to dry on him. And then it came to him all of a sudden that his boots had buckles on them. And he reached down as best he could and he popped that first kind of snap buckle on the left one and then the right one and then the next one and then the next one. And he found that he was able to pull his shoes out. And his feet out.
And he laid in that mud and he swam and he crawled across there. Not really swimming, it wasn't that deep. And he got more covered in that till he got to dry ground. And then he took off, left his shoes right there, as fast as he could, up the hog pen trail. And he didn't get far till he noticed down the trail a shadow. Someone, a figure coming toward him. And it was his grandfather. You see, his grandfather had been watching the whole time. He knew that his grandson would probably disobey. And he was watching to make sure. And that little boy ran into his grandfather's arms and covered in all that stuff. And that's the amazing thing about the grandfather is you get him go, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you and I've done that. You know, when a dog comes in the house wet, don't you jump on that. Or the children. He threw his arms around him. And that little boy buried his face in his grandfather's neck. And he said, Granddaddy, I'm so sorry. Will you ever forgive me? His grandfather held him out and looked at him. He now covered with that stuff and said, I love you. I'll always love you. Let's go home. And my grandfather carried me home that day from the hog pen trail. And I never went back to that one again without him. But I want you to know this. There's a father that's waiting, no matter where you are on the hog pen trail, waiting to say, I forgive you. I love you. It doesn't matter how much sin or mess or how much you think you've messed up. He's waiting. One of these days, you and I are going to finish our journey and we're going to walk into glory. And there's going to be a father there, a lot like my grandfather was that day, saying, come on home. It's okay. That's God's message for us today. No matter how far we get away from Him, no matter how much the world dumps on us or how much we mess up, we've got a God that's saying, come on home. I love you. I forgive you. Now the question is, where are you going to stay? Where are you going to stay? You're going to stay down there at the end of the hog pen trail all covered in that stuff because you're too proud to say, I messed up? Or are you going to run to a father who says, come on. Come as you are. Come covered in all that mess. Because he said, you know, I'm going to take all that mess that you have on you, and I'm going to put it on me. And one day they're going to stretch my arms wide, and they're going to stretch my feet, and they're going to drive nails through them. And I'm going to carry all that mess and do away with it so that you won't ever have to deal with the consequences. That mess is called your sin. And with Jesus, they stretched him wide and they dropped him deep. And he bore the sin of the world, your hog pen trail mess, and my hog pen trail mess. Why? Because he loved us, and he loves us still. As we close this service, and we come in our time of invitation, there's a path right here. The path down here is not to the hog pen trail. It's the path to a public profession that says, I've been to the hog pen trail and I'm coming to the Lord. And he says, welcome home. Maybe you need to come publicly today because you want the Lord to do away with your hog pen stuff, with your sin. And he'll do that. You say, well, do I have to come down there? Well, you can do it right where you are. Just ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart. He'll do that. But he also said that there comes a point where you have to tell others. I had to go home with my grandfather carrying me, and she didn't want me, or my grandmother didn't want me or my granddaddy in the house. He was big enough, he could go. I had to stay outside, take off all my clothes, and get squirted down with a water hose. Now that's a thrill, I can tell you. But when I went home, when I finally got him home, I was cleansed. And you will be too. Maybe you need to come and pray at this altar. Maybe the hog pen trail is working on you. And it's going, come on, come on, come on. It's not as bad as it smells. It's not as bad as it looks. Let me tell you, I've been to the end of a literal hog pen trail, and I've been on the sinful hog pen trail. And it's worse than it looks. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. As we come in our time of invitation, Lord, may your Spirit move and may the folks be obedient, not to me, but to your Spirit. And Lord, may we, when we go from here today, may we realize how wonderful it is to be cleansed by the stench of the hog pen trail, and that's only made possible through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.